You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team, every day. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join us every week as we get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. This is the daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Vreen Fiends, and while I'm solo right now, I will not be solo. Jeff and I actually hopped on Locker Room yesterday, had a little chat about opening day, made a couple predictions, so that's what today's episode is going to consist of. Make sure to download the Locker Room app so you can join us next week. And make sure to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts, when you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcasts Locked On Dodgers. All right, let's hop into our Locker Room chat.
So, yeah, Vince and I were both in Denver. What time did you get in today, Vince?
I had a 5:30 a.m. flight.
Wow. Yeah, you were in Denver before I even left my house in Utah, because we left about 9:30 this morning and drove for about 8 hours. So, but Vince, have you been to Coors Field before?
I have not. Actually, they let me in today. They had... For $5, you could go watch the Rockies work out and take batting practice.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but it'll be my first time watching a full game there.
Nice. Yeah, our hotel, I didn't even book a hotel till like 2 nights ago. And so I just went on hotels.com and was looking at the map view. And I'm like, wait, there's a hotel right across the street that's actually reasonably priced. And so I booked it. And yeah, and it's literally across the street from the stadium. So did the Freeway Series make you more excited for the regular season, Vince?
Yeah, you know, anytime the Dodgers can hit a bunch of home runs and make the Angels look bad, I'm all down for it, and that's exactly what they did. So, definitely more excited. You know, it was nice to see Bellinger get on the board, get a couple home runs up there. It was nice to see Mookie get on the board, cut a couple home runs up there. And obviously, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to translate into regular season, but it's better to see them doing that than to not see them do that. So, I'm excited. I mean, I've been over spring training, even though I went. What was it, last week or a week and a half ago? I wasn't over when I was there, but I've been over spring training for like 2 weeks. I'm ready for the regular season.
Yeah, I definitely get that. And yeah, it's kind of funny that Mookie and Belly and Muncy each had two home runs in the series, and they were kind of the three who, you know, I'm never worried about Mookie, but the fact that he hadn't hit any home runs in spring training was not concerning, but something like concerning. And you know, obviously, Belly coming off the surgery, and Muncy's looked kind of bad all spring. So it's fun to get them. And what was it, like 9 or 10 different Dodgers homered in the series or something?
Maybe it was 7, but they had 10 home runs total.
Okay. No, they had 12 homers total. So,
oh, yeah,
4 in each game.
It might have been more than.
You guys who are here in the room with us, what are you guys looking forward to about opening day? Any special opening day thoughts from any of you, if you want to – shoot them in the chat or click on the request to speak. Francisco wants to talk. All right, Francisco, you're on.
All right, give me one quick second. Throwing on my dryer. Oh, yeah, no, like when it comes to opening day, I feel like I always think back to when I was like a kid and then going with my dad to opening day, fireworks and all the, you know, the jazz that comes with that. I think that's probably one of the biggest things to me because now that I have kids, although this year I won't take them because obviously everything's kind of restricted, but just that excitement that I have, I can share with him here, watching it at home, just that, you know, what I had with my dad and then, you know, my sisters, that as a dad now, I can do that with my kids, kind of teach them and explain to them, you know, the way that the game works, the way, you know, why we get excited and, or sad, basically it depends on what team you cheer for. But, yeah. I think it's just that those memories as a kid that kind of gets me hyped up for every opening day since then that I've watched since I was a kid. And I think it's just those, that kind of feeling because, I mean, no matter what, like, your team either wins or loses, it's one game, you know? It's not really going to make or break your season. You know, the Dodgers, they're stacked. But who knows? They may drop the first game, and then everyone's like, oh, man, you know. But no one's going to be worried about it. It's just that the excitement and the energy that kind of comes along with all that. I think that's kind of the biggest thing to me.
Yeah, I could totally relate to that. You know, as a dad, and it's that time of year when my time hop keeps showing me pictures of previous years being at opening day with my boys. And I just saw one from, I think, 3 years ago. It was me and my dad and my two sons and my brother and my sister all at opening day together. And, yeah, those memories. And I remember in 2019 on opening day, I went there and my two sons were with me. And so they would have been 12 and 7 at the time. And the 7-year-old, first thing he says to me is, it's so weird not having Puig in right field. And it's just like, you know, this 7-year-old like recognizes that it's weird to not have Puig in right field. And then my 12-year-old turned to me and said, I wonder if Wilmer Flores is going to cry. And, you know, those are the kind of memories that make a dad happy. So.
Yep. I agree 100%.
Brian says he's looking forward to the Gavin Lux breakout season. Absolutely. It's here. It's here, Brian. I think Gavin Lux is going to start us off tomorrow with, what do you think, Vince? 5 home runs?
Yeah, I mean, that's reasonable to expect. He's going to bat probably like 7 times. So, you know, yeah. 5 home runs, a double, maybe one. He'll get out maybe once.
I am nothing if not reasonable in my Gavin Lux expectations.
Yeah, that's true. But, yeah, I mean, opening day, it's a little bit different now. A lot of teams, you know, the Rockies, I don't think it's a symbol for a fresh start or anything like that. I think there's a few teams out there that, you don't expect much coming in, which kind of sucks. But, you know, for the teams that do have expectations coming in, especially with the Dodgers, as we've talked about plenty of over the offseason, it's just baseball's back. You know that you're going to have 3 to 4 hours of your day occupied every single day pretty much until hopefully the end of October. And it's just, I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's just a great feeling. Like, I don't have the relatable sense of the kid part, but you know, when I was a kid growing up, we used to go to opening day every day and already knew I was going to get out of class or not, you know, go to school and go see the Dodgers. And it was always exciting. And now, you know, I can kind of do it on my own, check on my own. It feels weird not to start the season at home, considering the Dodgers almost always start the season at home. And of course, the 1 year they win it all is when they start on the road, which was super awkward.
Yeah, I think this is only the second time in my 9 years as a season ticket holder that they're not opening at home.
This episode is brought to you by Locker Room, which is convenient since we used the Locker Room app yesterday in order to develop this episode. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download. Once you're in, you can talk with me, you can talk with Jeff, you can talk with a bunch of others. We got a lot of Locked On hosts over there at the Locker Room app. You can join in and maybe talk crap about some of the other teams or ask some good questions about some other teams, whatever you want to do. But Locker Room is a perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You can even start your own. You don't have to wait for us to be on. You can start a conversation maybe with friends or find some other room to get into some conversations. There's a lot to do on the Locker Room app. You just have to go download it and check it out. And be sure to join us every week as we'll be hosting rooms. Depending on the day, depending on the games, usually we'll shoot for Thursday maybe, but if not, we'll be hosting the room at least once a week. So go download the free Locker Room app right now. That's all on all iOS devices. Create a profile, link your Twitter, join the MLB group for your latest league updates, and follow me at Vince Samperio and follow Jeff at Snydog. So when our rooms go live, you know when we're talking. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. RockAuto.com is a family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com and check out their super easy to use website to shop for auto and auto body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. If you're going to fix your car up or change your car up or do whatever little things to your car, why not go to RockAuto.com? Why deal with people? Why go to the store? Why worry about if you're going to get different pricing from mechanics? At rockauto.com, everybody gets the same prices, and those prices are usually lower than anywhere else you can find, and it gets delivered right to your door. They got plenty of pieces for any parts of your car that you need, all the way from brake stuff See, I'm not a big car guy. All the way from brake stuff to new carpet, whatever you need, rockauto.com has you covered with reliably low prices. With everybody gets the same price. So why not do it? Go to rockauto.com. If they ask, how did you hear about us? Make sure to put Locked On in the box and let them know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
Christian has an interesting message in the chat room talking about possibly a Yankees-Dodgers World Series. I think the odds are against it, even though I think the Dodgers and Yankees are the favorites in their respective leagues, but it's so rare. Like what we got last year when it was actually the best team in the National League against the best team in the American League. We don't get that often, but that sure would be fun to rekindle that rivalry a little bit. It's been 40 years since the Dodgers and Yankees have played each other in the World Series. So after playing each other three times in the World Series in my lifetime, by the time I was four, I was four and a half when last time they played in the World Series against each other. And so, that would be pretty fun.
Yeah. I tweeted this the other day. I just don't understand the hype on the Yankees. I understand they have a strong lineup and their bullpen's pretty strong, but I guess maybe once you get to the postseason, that's going to be where they shine the most. But that rotation is nothing to write home about. You know, the Dodgers, number five starter Destiny is probably a number two or three over there on the Yankees. So, but the AL is just so, like, you look at the AL and it's really not that strong at all. The White Sox are supposed to be good, but they're still kind of young. They lost one of their guys for pretty much the whole season. The Rays lost a few guys, but they're always able to find their way back. But who knows how they'll be. The Twins are the Twins. You know, they play the Yankees in the postseason. Sorry to the Twins. So it's just, it's kind of crazy how power has maybe shifted a little bit to where the NL has, you know, the Dodgers, Padres were two of the best teams last year based on record and based on everything else. This year they seem to be coming into the same. The Braves were, you know, one win away from making the World Series, and they probably would have taken down the Rays, you know, maybe a little bit more handily depending how things went. But yeah, it's definitely a power shift a little bit to the National League right now.
Yeah, the Yankees pitching is going to be the big question. Like Christian pointed out in the chat, they have Corey Kluber, they have Jameson Taillon. Both of them have potential to be really good. They have whatever his name is, the guy who had Tommy John surgery. He's coming back midseason.
Severino.
Yeah, Severino, who, you know, if he comes back and pitches well, you know, they have potential to have a really good rotation. But, you know, whereas the Dodgers have enough starting pitchers to get 200 starts, the Yankees, you know, are hoping to have enough healthy guys to get the 162. And realistically, you know, the guys they're counting on are probably only going to give them 100 starts, and they're going to have to cobble some together. So obviously if Judge and Stanton can stay healthy, that's going to help them a lot. If I'm interested to see if DJ LeMahieu eventually, he has to either turn back into a pumpkin or at least get old. So we'll see what happens there. But let's see. Brian wants to talk. Let's. All right, Brian, you're on.
Hey, I wanted to talk about Corey Seager. So
that always sounds fun.
As long as I've been a Dodger fan, I don't think I've ever seen a Dodger hit like he has in the last 6 months. So have you guys heard anything, any rumblings as far as an extension on that contract? I know he's a Boris client and that's not his thing, but with all the Lindor talk over the last couple of days, has there been any rumblings at all that you guys have heard on an extension for him?
You know, I just don't see it happening. I had been holding out hope. You know, the Dodgers surprised us last year on opening day eve with the Mookie extension, but it didn't happen with Corey, and I don't think that's a surprise. And for me, it seems pretty likely he's going to hit free agency. I still think he's going to end up with the Dodgers, but I think he's going to hit free agency. You think so, Vince?
Yeah, I mean, the only report we saw was Heyman kind of threw it out there that the Dodgers approached him and that he obviously didn't agree to anything. None of the big shortstops coming out next year have agreed to an extension, which is – good in, I think more good than bad for the, in terms of the Dodgers getting Seager back. If all those guys go out on the market, some teams may, you know, the Dodgers have enough money to really throw whatever they want at Corey Seager. And if, you know, I'm not sure if that's their plan or if they're, you know, hoping that Gavin Lux kind of takes over and they feel, you know, Michael Bush has second base, whatever else it is. But I think if all the guys go to the free market next year, it's just a better part for the Dodgers. Not everybody's going to be looking to pay big money for the shortstops. The ones that do, they're going to have to decide, you know, how much they want to pay. But the good thing is that we're not the Astros completely lowballing our star shortstop, who they have not budged off a six-year, $120 million deal, which, you know, even with Carlos Correa, how we feel about him, and even with cheating scandal, it's still a pretty ridiculous lowball for him.
Yeah, it's I don't know. Like, I don't see any downside for Corey to hit free agency because there will be more clarity on the Lindor situation. You know, the Rockies, I don't know if they're still holding out vain hopes of actually extending Story or not. But, you know, there will be a lot more clarity for Corey. The only downside would be if he doesn't actually play well this year. And that really doesn't seem likely at this point. Like Brian was saying, this is the best we've seen, especially for this long. You know, we saw, I think 2011, Matt Kemp was pretty close. Like he was so good. And even the first month or two of 2019, Cody Bellinger. But for Seager to, I mean, he basically was really, really good all regular season last year, all 60 games. And then he turned it up even more for the postseason. And then he maybe even turned it up even more for spring training this year. And so, you know, he will eventually have a slump, I assume. But I don't think it's going to be a long enough slump that it affects his overall season numbers. And so Corey's going to go in and, you know, he still can re-sign with the Dodgers, but there's no real downside to him to at least test the free agency waters.
Yeah, I think probably the worst we've seen him was, 2019 postseason series. Other than that, if he's been healthy, he's been one of the best hitters in baseball. And I'm just excited. If it is only one more year, I'm excited to see what we get out of him this year. But hopefully it's going to be much, much, many more years beyond this year.
Yeah. So, yeah, if any of the rest of you have any topics of conversation or questions, feel free to hit the request to speak button. In the meantime, I had a thought today while I was driving Vince.
You ready to make some money this season? You can do it with Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. MLB is about to start up, and you can start betting every single day on the Dodgers, on other teams, on NBA if you want, NHL, college basketball, Final Four. There's a bunch of stuff to bet on. Baseball's getting started. Why not bet on the Dodgers? Win yourself some money. BetOnline.ag. Go check it out. They got real-time updated odds, props on almost anything you can imagine, news, scores, odds, anything you need for sports or in order to place bets. They got you covered. And the best part, it's free to sign up. And the second best part, you can get a 50% welcome bonus right now after your first deposit if you use the promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline.ag. That's BetOnline.ag, promo code LOCKEDON, 50% welcome bonus after your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. It's still Built Bar Madness, and we're trying to figure out which is the best tasting protein bar. Built Bar, which is already the best tasting protein bar on the market, is a low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar that you can get, and it's covered in chocolate. But we're trying to figure out which of those flavors is the best. So it's Built Bar Madness. The championship is just about here. Make sure to go to BuiltBar.com to check out the matchup, or go to Bar_Built on Twitter to check out the matchup. And remember, if you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your next order. That's LOCKED15, 15% off at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who's going to win the championship. If you're the type of baseball fan that can't help but get giddy over prospects, we have the podcast for you, Locked On MLB Prospects. It's hosted by minor league play-by-play voice Aaron Layton, and it's the only daily podcast devoted entirely to the stars of tomorrow. Follow Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
Clayton Kershaw. I could see him having a 2.4 ERA this year and being the Dodgers' best starter. I could see him having a 3.5 ERA. And I could actually see 3.5 being the Dodgers' worst starter. You know, like, have we ever seen a year where we had so little idea what to expect from Kershaw?
Definitely not. And obviously it's due to the fact that, you know, he's been on the decline, so to speak, for the last few years. You know, maybe even coming into last year, we weren't sure what we were going to get over the course of the full season. I think once the season kind of got shortened, we had a little bit more confidence and faith in Kershaw. The fact that, you know, it was less of a marathon, more of a sprint. If he was able to get any velocity. And last year we had the driveline thing coming into the regular season. We didn't know what he did there exactly or what he was working on exactly. But we've seen people go to driveline and get results before. It didn't necessarily translate to velocity 100%, but it, you know, translated to a pretty good season overall, as we saw. And, you know, that slider that he was throwing in the postseason, he was getting some of the best sliders he's thrown in a long time. So, yeah, it's definitely – have no idea what to expect. I mean, even tomorrow, I'm a little concerned just because it's Coors. I know the Rockies don't really have major league caliber players at every position, but it's the fact that it's Coors and, you know, Kershaw, if his slider's flat or whatever, the ball can travel. I'm a little worried about tomorrow's start. But honestly, beyond that, I'm expecting Kershaw to kind of be what he was the last few couple years, a quality start guy, 6 innings, 3 runs, and then get to the bullpen.
Yeah, and that's that would be awesome. And if he's that's a 4.5 ERA, if that's what he's averaging, 6 innings, 3 runs. But you know, that's the kind of thing. He could go, you know, 24-3 if he actually averaged 6 innings and 3 runs, you know, like with this offense. That's with this offense and this bullpen, that, you know, they don't need him to be 2013, 2014 Clayton Kershaw for him to be successful, you know, quote unquote successful, talking about win loss record and good enough. And that's the thing that I was thinking about. Like, you really, there's not a single one of the 8, or, you know, if you count Josiah Gray, 9 starters who there's rarely going to be a game where you go into it thinking, oh, the Dodgers are probably underdogs today. You know, maybe if it's, I was thinking like Dustin May going up against Yu Darvish, maybe the Padres are favored in that game, maybe, but it's like, you know,
anytime I'm choosing, against DeGrom, I guess.
Yeah, I'm choosing Dustin May because he's the 5th starter, but yeah, even DeGrom, like, you know, the Mets have to score, and, you know, the Mets are obviously going to be better offensively, you would think, than they've been the last few years. But yeah, there's not going to be very many games. Like, I would guess the Dodgers will be favored in, what, 130 of their 162 games this year? Doesn't mean they'll win 130, obviously, but you know, if they win most of the games they're supposed to win, they're going to be just fine.
Yeah, I mean, just against Giants, Rockies, Diamondbacks, that's 60 games right there that they'll probably be favored in. So they're definitely going to kick it off. But something that, you know, Matt's not in the chat anymore, but Matt put, Dodgers might win 105-110 this year. Last year we did some predictions or other things like win predictions. I think we did team MVP. I think we did best pitcher, you know, best hitter. So I think we should do these again. Last year we both hit on a couple and both missed pretty big on a couple. But yeah, let's start with how many wins they're going to end with.
Oh, you know, like my shorthand that I've been saying is I think they're a 110 win team. And I think it's going to be somewhere in that ballpark. You know, like I could see it being anywhere between 104 and 120, honestly. And you know, it's hard to really go out and predict they're going to win 110 games. But I think it's going to be somewhere in that ballpark. You know, I'll say 107. So it's their record, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's 110 is probably the high mark of how high I'd go if you legitimately, you know, put some kind of odds to my head or something like that. I think, you know, 105 is probably a nice solid round number that is easily achievable. So, yeah, I mean, we're both in the, kind of the same realm between 105 and 110. I think that's where they're going to finish. And, you know, the other part we talked about is it's going to take a lot for them to, you know, not finish over 100 in general. You know, we saw them win 43 games last year in 60 games with no, you know, very little from Max Muncy, very little from Cody Bellinger, and nothing against left-handers really from Turner and Betts, as we've mentioned the last week or so. And, you know, it's very hard to think that, you know, even if the breakout from last year, AJ Pollock, is bad, everybody else is probably going to be good. It would take like three or four guys to really, really slump in order for the Dodgers to not like be right on the cusp of 100 wins.
Yeah. So here's my question for you, Vince. If the over-under was 105.5 and you were forced to bet not just your life savings, but your future earnings too, like, so real gun to your head and it's over-under is 105.5, you going over or under?
Oof. I'm going under just because that's how I seem to think.
Gun to your head, Vince. There's a gun to your head and you're going to play it safe?
That's exactly why.
All right. I'd go over.
I mean, yeah, that's acceptable. You know, I still don't trust the Dodgers. They want to wear a series, but I don't completely trust them yet. We've got to see.
I think I could disarm a gunman too. Like that's the, you know, I'm not afraid of a gun to my head.
Yeah. All right. Let's go on to team MVP.
Team MVP. Why don't you go first this time? Give me a second to think.
All right. Team MVP. Last year it was Max Muncy. I'm not going to go with Max Muncy again.
How'd that work out last year?
Yeah, it didn't work out that great. And you know, maybe he needs. Doesn't need that for me. Team MVP, I'm gonna go Will Smith for the part of being one of the best hitting catchers with a thing that he's going to actually not actually the thing that he's gonna develop a better rapport with the pitching. He's gonna get back to his good framing days, and he's gonna push Austin Barnes to only starting maybe once a week.
Yeah, I it's not a bad choice. The only thing is just the nature of being a catcher. He's going to have days off. And so, I mean, I think he'd have to start at least 130 games to really be in the conversation for team MVP, especially with some of these other guys. And I don't think he's going to get quite that many starts. For me, it's like it comes down to Mookie and Seager, and it's hard to go wrong with either of them. You know, Mookie has the defensive aspect that he adds to it. That I expect Corey to hit a little bit better than Mookie. And I expect Mookie to be a little bit better defensively. Corey, I'm always surprised he's actually, you know, he's a solid shortstop. But yeah, I think Corey is going to, you know, hit 340 or, you know, 330 to 340. And that's a big deal, especially because, you know, he's going to have some more, he's going to have a bunch of doubles again. And, you know, so it'll come down to how much you value defense probably, but I think Corey is, maybe it's a safe answer, maybe it's a cop-out answer, but it seems like the most likely one to me.
I mean, the likely answer is not necessarily a cop-out, especially when it comes to the Dodgers and Corey Seager. We saw him win MVP back-to-back series in the postseason. So,
yeah.
All right. So not Cy Young, but best pitcher or most important pitcher at the end of the season.
I mean, last year was Victor Gonzalez, right? Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think it's Walker Buehler. I think, you know, we keep expecting the breakout from Buehler, and last year was so weird because he, you know, for whatever reason, I know he didn't throw as much during the shutdown because he didn't want to throw too much and didn't, you know, they weren't sure when they were going to start. And so he had kind of the slow start to the season. And then just as he was getting going, he got the blisters. But, you know, we saw once he was healthy and going in the postseason, he was awesome. And so hopefully with more of a regular offseason and a regular spring training, as long as those blister issues don't come back, it seems like this is the year that we see Walker Buehler just go out there and dominate and, you know, be in Cy Young contention. It's hard to predict anybody other than Jacob deGrom to actually win the Cy Young Award at this point, even though I guess Trevor Bauer did last year. But yeah, I expect Buehler to just be dominant, finally have, you know, one of those 2.4, 2.5 ERA seasons that we expect from him with, you know, 250 strikeouts or whatever. Obviously, so it depends on how many starts he makes. But to me, it seems like this is the year that we see peak Buehler.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to take Buehler, and you know, there's nothing wrong with taking Buehler on my end if I wanted to piggyback on you. I'm gonna get on the Dustin May train. I know I had been saying the last year, you know, even when he was performing well last season, that, you know, in order for him to take that next step, he had to develop that third pitch. He seems to have had good success he had good success with it in the spring. If it translates over to the regular season, you know, even though he'll have more of a little bit of restriction than some of these other guys, you know, he might not make 30 starts. He might make 20 starts and come out of the bullpen. I think at the end of the day, he's going to be like that most important pitcher of the guy that takes that next step and is going to be, you know, the reason the Dodgers are good in 2021, but also in the future.
So we both took starting pitchers. I don't know if this was on your list of questions, but I'm going to ask the next one. Who's going to be their best or most valuable relief pitcher?
Recency bias would have you thinking Blake Treinen after some of the ridiculous pitches he threw the other day, and it wouldn't be a bad choice. I think, you know, to get back to like on Victor Gonzalez, I think he's going to have to be one of their more important pieces in order for everything to kind of work out, not just from a left-handed perspective, but just, you know, they're counting on him to be one of those guys that's there in the later innings. And, you know, you could name almost anyone in the Dodgers bullpen right now that's expected to be in the bullpen, and it wouldn't be a wrong or bad answer. I'm going to go with Victor Gonzalez sustaining that success as one of the more important things for the Dodgers. And I think he's going to do it.
Yeah, Christian says Gratterall, and that's another one that, you know, you definitely, and I know you're all aboard the Gratterall train. It's so funny how many guys you mentioned, Dustin May, that he needs to get those strikeouts up. We saw the same thing from Blake Treinen last year, not striking out as many guys as you would have thought he would with that stuff, and definitely saw the same thing with Gratterall. And so, you know, all three of those guys, if they can step up those strikeouts, and like we saw that pitch from Treinen the other day, if he can throw that thing consistently, and it wasn't even just the two seamer, he had the slider and the whatever cutter, you know, like he just has some nasty stuff. And so many guys, I was thinking about this before I answer who I think the best reliever is going to be. While I was driving today, I was thinking it's not unrealistic at all to think Kenley Jansen might be the Dodgers' eighth best relief pitcher this year. Like, there's eight relievers on the roster right now. I expect Kenley to be better than Scott Alexander, probably. I don't know that I would put money on Kenley being better than any of the other seven that are on the roster right now. And that's
– then you've got exact same thought.
And then you've got Gratterall, who's not on the roster right now. And so that's eight guys who might be better than Kenley, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to kind of what we talked about last postseason of that feeling where if Jansen wasn't the closer – I don't even know if he necessarily was, you know, one of the top pitchers in order to be on the postseason roster. And just the way all the guys have looked, obviously spring training, you know, they're going to have some struggles in the regular season more than likely, but you know, the way Knebel's curveball is looking and he's, you know, touching 94, the way Treinen looked the other day, the way all these other guys are looking so far this spring. Yeah. Jensen, the Dodgers kind of need him to be the closer because then they're going to have a decision of, you know, Scott, you're luckily with the 26 men, they don't have to really change too much and they can go with Scott Alexander or whatever. But yeah, I don't know where Jansen ranks right now. And it's very easy to see him kind of rank toward the bottom if he doesn't come out with it.
Yeah. So now I'll answer the question. I think Jimmy Nelson is going to be that guy. You know, I think it's kind of like we talked about this last year. I think like the Dodgers have question marks, but none of those question marks have a potential answer of this isn't good. It's just more of a question of who is going to do it, you know? And so the bullpen is a question mark, but more along the lines of, okay, yeah, I mean, because last year the bullpen was a question mark going in, and I think they had the best bullpen ERA in baseball last year, you know? And so it's this year they're even better. Last year they had multiple guys who you're like, okay, well, yeah, we probably won't see that guy much, so it's not that big a deal. Right now it's like, you know, it's going to be hard to find enough meaningful innings to get all your good relievers enough work. That's how ridiculous it is right now because they have, like I said, they have at least six, you know, and then plus Kenley Jansen and Scott Alexander of relievers who you think, yeah, I would trust that guy to close out a game. You know, I think Scott Alexander is probably the only one of the guys on the current roster who we don't see closing out a game this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Armando brought up David Price, and he's another one that, you know, like I said, we almost have mentioned everyone now after Price. We could have named every single reliever, and they all have made, you know, a stake in being either the best reliever, most important reliever, whatever it is. And I think, honestly, this is probably the most excited slash confident I've been in a bullpen going into it. You know, 2017, the bullpen ended up being good, but Brandon Morrow, we had no idea what was coming from him. And even last year, we had no idea what was coming from Victor Gonzalez. And, you know, there might be a guy like that this year, maybe Josiah Gray or one of the other recent draftees. But I think this is the first time where, if as long as nobody gets hurt, this bullpen is, you know, kind of set and locked right now.
Yeah, I think the only one we didn't mention is Tony Gonsolin, and he's probably going to be awesome, you know?
Yeah.
Brian asked in the chat, he said, do you guys think that the Dodgers bench has enough to replace the production lost from Jock and Kike?
Yeah, if you did have to point to one question mark for the Dodgers this year, I do think it would be the bench, and not more based on it's a kind of a mishmash. You know, Matt Beatty had a really good 2019, and I expect him to be just like that this year. He just, you know, last year he just didn't have opportunities. AJ Pollock was actually really good, didn't get hurt, so the opportunities didn't necessarily present themselves. But he's a good bat off the bench. Edwin Rios is a little bit of a question mark. You know, both you and I have mentioned that he might not be an everyday type guy, or, you know, the swing's a little long, and if guys start exposing him. So I think the bench is kind of where the question marks can come into play, you know, and maybe one of those, if it doesn't become, you know, McKinstry, we don't know what we're going to get from him yet. You know, Kike and Jock, while they were inconsistent, you kind of have somewhat expectation of having some power back there and ability to change a game with one swing. They don't necessarily have that in their entire bench this year, but you know, it's definitely one where you can see them making a move if it doesn't quite pan out how they think.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of it comes down to like the one weakness in the lineup is AJ Pollock, especially against right-handers. And that's where, like, Kike offensively, we're not going to miss him. I think what they have on the bench is at least as good as Kike offensively. Different, you know, Kike had that power that he could bust out once in a while, and maybe we won't see quite the, you know, the peaks that Kike could have. But overall, I think Kike's offensive production, I'm not worried about replacing. And Jock's overall offensive production, I'm not that worried about replacing. It's the specific of, okay, who's going to play against righties when they stop trusting AJ Pollock to do it. And, you know, Matt Beatty could be the answer. He can play left field. Zach Rex could be the answer. I was messaging with Zach Rex the other day. I mentioned to him that Oklahoma City is coming to Salt Lake in September. And I said, so if you're in AAA in September, you know, we can meet up. And he said, you better plan on meeting me at Dodger Stadium this year. And I like that, you know, he's he can hit, and he can play left field. And so, you know, it might be and obviously McKinstry, if they want to keep McKinstry as the utility guy, and they actually want somebody platooning with Pollock, you're looking at probably Beatty or Rex. I guess maybe Luke Rayleigh, you know, one of those kind of guys. And it's definitely you're not going to have, I don't think any of those guys has the pop that Jock has. I think Beatty is a better hitter than Jock. But obviously not as powerful. And so there's question marks there with left field. And so it's a question mark as to how they're going to replace Jock. But I think they have what it takes. And worst case scenario, if you have a hole in your lineup, well, you're, you know, 1/6 of the way to most teams. You know, most teams have 5 or 6 spots in their lineup that they're wondering how they're going to get production from. And the Dodgers have like maybe one.
Yeah. And then we didn't even mention Chris Taylor, and he's kind of been looking, I mean, not kind of, he's been looking really good this spring, and, you know, could be a guy that slots into an everyday type role, whether it's if Pollock struggles or gets hurt and they slide him out there, or just kind of finding a spot every, you know, 4 or 5 times a week for him. But, you know, he's the one that's kind of the constant right now of the bench, where I don't, you know, he's looking really good.
Yeah. And Taylor doesn't have the platoon splits that a lot of guys have. And so you could see him being, even though he and Pollock are both right-handed, you could see Taylor being the guy who plays left field against right-handed pitchers. And then when it's a lefty, you know, he probably plays somewhere else, because you figure when Gavin Lux does get a day off, it will be against the lefty. You know, when Bellinger gets a day off, it would probably be against a lefty. Seager will get an occasional day off, and it would probably be against a lefty. And so if Chris Taylor ends up the right playing left field against right-handed pitchers, you know, there's probably plenty of starts for him to literally play every day, just subbing for Lux, Seager, and Bellinger each once every week or two, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, true. All right. Okay, we've been going on a while. Let's finish off with this one. Who will be on the mound to record the final out of the World Series clinching win?
Ooh, okay. I am going to go with, okay. Did we do this prediction last year?
We didn't, but it's based on the fact that, remember I mentioned Brusdar Graterol, and I didn't want to say he was going to close out the World Series. I kind of wanted to say it, but I didn't actually say it. So it's kind of based on that, what I said last year.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Blake Treinen. I think Treinen is going to, you know, maybe not be the closer, but I think he's going to be, even though I picked Jimmy Nelson as being the most valuable reliever, or whatever, I think that's going to be part of his value is going to be coming from being able to go multiple innings. I think just on a pure dominance basis, I think it's probably going to be Treinen. And so I'm going to go ahead and say that game 5 of the World Series. No, let's go game 6 just so that they can finish it at home. Game 6 of the World Series, and you're going to have the last 4 innings of the game are pitched by a combination of Graterol, Treinen, and Nelson, with Treinen actually closing it out.
All right, I can dig that. I'm going to go, since none of the AL teams scare me, I'm going to go with a big win whenever they clinch. And Dave Roberts, as his parting gift to Kenley Jansen, going to allow him to close it out with a 6-run lead in the 9th inning.
Ah, because it's not close. I could see that. That's a, yeah, you know, and it, I like how you said parting gift, because I mentioned this on today's episode, the crossover with Ben from the Giants, that I think this is Kenley's last year with the Dodgers. It's hard to see him back next year because Kenley is a closer in his mind, and I don't see him being the Dodgers closer next year, which means I don't see him with the Dodgers next year.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, but he might as well go out as a 2-time World Series champion, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Brian thinks it's Julio again. So
I'd be cool with that.
Yeah, you know, and they could it could be they've got 13 pitchers on the roster right now, and I could see it being any one of 11 of those guys. Plus Graterol. So there's literally 12 guys who I could come up with a realistic scenario where it's one of those guys. Armando, go ahead.
Hey guys, just want to say I'm really hoping we have a great season this year. I think the team's going to win at least 100 games. If everything goes the way we hope. I guess the biggest concerns I have are the same ones you guys had. Maybe the depth a little bit, but team looks pretty solid to me, so I'm all in. I think we're going to do really well this year. Can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think you might have hopped in right after we gave our win total predictions. Vince predicted 174 wins and negative 12 losses. So
that sounds just about right.
Yeah. But yeah, it should be awesome. And I'm excited that, what is it now, Vince? How far away are we from first pitch? We're like 17 hours away from first pitch of the season. Yeah. A little over 17 hours. So, yeah, we'll get that first win in about 20 hours. And we will, on the way to 174. I guess we could say 173 because the 11 in the postseason plus the after they go 162-0 in the regular season. So,
there you go.
Yeah.
Take it.
All right, that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to download the Locker Room app and follow Jeff at Snydog or me at Vincent91. Make sure to follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts if you have any questions or comments or ideas. Or you can send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. or you can send us a text or leave a voicemail at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!